evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. This vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people on Facebook complained that I was correcting them on how to use Facebook because they were using it wrong to spread messages that were factually incorrect. And they were upset because I was using it to post what I wanted when they wanted to post stuff, and that's the right way to do it because posting what you want is the right way to do it. Part of this is also to follow through with the old adage that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I'm known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. You can find me under G+, Twitter, Facebook, etc., 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 under that. I was born into a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island. I currently reside outside of Buffalo, New York. Yes, we got walloped with snow a couple of weeks ago. Leave me alone. And I identify as an unabashed atheist. Joining us on the round table from north of the border is Heretic Woman.
Hello. I'm from Ontario, Canada. Grew up in the United Church of Canada. At some point, I did something silly and joined the Calvinist sect. Wasn't the brightest decision. Been an atheist now for 25 years and quite happy at that.
Also from south from there, Unrenown Tech.
Hey, I can usually be found under a rock. raised in New York, currently live in Maryland. Tried out a couple different religions, studied a couple more, realized it's all full of crap. What are you going to do? So, I'm an atheist.
And also, Joe.
Hi, everybody. I'm Joe. I'm the resident pyromaniac crazy person. I was born in Chicago, Illinois, raised in Ohio. I spent 11 years... I spent 8 years in the United States Armed Forces. I am currently living in Pittsburgh as a atheist. Okay. And somebody.
And there goes our viewer account.
And someone who has apparently profound issues and enjoys wearing his sunglasses at night indoors.
That's all right. That just means that you could eventually end up as an 80s cover band yourself.
That's you know, right. The only thing you really need, Joe, is to mount, like, a carbine, you know, along the wall behind your head, so that's in the picture, maybe at an angle, you know. That's the only thing that you're missing, man.
I could do that.
Although, if you had a bazooka, that would be epic. I would pay to see you mount a bazooka on your wall behind your head.
Two problems. One, this is concrete.
There's no problems with duct tape.
I'm sorry.
And they make Duck mounting Dynasty? Brackets for concrete.
Do you see Duck Dynasty embroidered here on my hat?
You can mount onto concrete. I've done it.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, but duct tape, man? Duct tape? Just how redneck do you think I am?
It depends. You could be watching CBC in red-green, but... We'll talk about duct tape later.
Well, here's the thing. Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. Forget Duck Dynasty for a second here. Hold on. I want to address something that Joe basically insinuated. Duct tape is not a redneck only specific item. I'll have you know that many of us damned Yankees in New York growing up in high school, when our chucks were ripping and tearing. For those of you who don't know what chucks are, it's the nickname given to Converse All-Stars. Rather than going out and buying new ones, because we had them broken in and they were comfortable, we would cover the tears with duct tape to keep them together. And we were not rednecks by any sense of the name.
Believe me, I am one of the many professors of the wonders of duct tape. There's a reason why we in the military refer to it as 100-mile-an-hour tape.
That's about when it starts to break down, right?
However, using it for home decor is a redneck idea.
There is something to be said for that, but we will table that for a later discussion. Which, of course,
you know, you do have to admit, though, having a bazooka back there would definitely trump. It would definitely trump the redneck-ish nature of the duct tape for home decor, because it would just be so epic.
I would rather have pants or trick.
We will table that for now and discuss it at a later date. We've got stuff that we've got to get through, and as a matter of fact, there's an item that I did not tell the panel about that I intend to do. But before we get to that, 5 minutes on the clock. Now, Tech?
Sure.
You want I should cut him, boss?
No, because if you don't behave, I will cut you. Now, as usual, I think about what to talk about for the five-minute freestyle during the week, and there have been a couple of things that have popped up, not the least of which is, how cool is it to hear that the International Space Station needed a wrench, and since there were no flights going up immediately to bring a wrench, they emailed the information to them so that they could put it through their 3D printer. How cool is that? How cool is it to find out that somebody who had a dog who looks like a husky, I think, who had underdeveloped front legs, designed and built in a 3D printer new legs for him, prosthetics, so that he could run for the first time? How cool is it to hear about these kinds of things where the technology through this year has been amazing? We have a space probe out there that was just woken up for a little while on its way out to Pluto, just so that they could check it out and make sure that everything was working the way that it's supposed to so far. And it's going to go back into hibernation again for about another 3 months. And then it's going to start waking up and bring us pictures of the furthest point that we have gotten up close and personal. So what did I finally decide to talk about? Believe it or not, something that I heard on podcast not even 2 hours ago. I was listening to Skeptics with a K, and if you haven't been listening to them, they're a lot of fun. Michael Marsh was talking about how he was down in Brisbane recently for a Skeptics conference. And if memory serves, that also included George Schraub and the guys from Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, and a whole bunch of folks were there. But one of the talks that they ended up having at one point, somebody actually identified themselves as, believe it or not, in a Skeptics conference, as a chiropractor. Now, as we know full well, we've heard a lot of woo that's come out of chiropractic. Chiropractors, something all above and beyond the scope of realigning bones and musculature and you know, things like, you know, it's good to realign the spines and the cervical stuff in the neck of newborns, because it'll help so that they don't need vaccines for autism or whatever the hell it is. There have been a lot of things that have come out like that. But I think what was really impressed on me was how Michael Marshall said, basically, you don't need to be a dick. I mean, really, when you boil it down to it, that's really what it comes down to. As skeptics, as people who question what's going on, you don't need to be a dick. And as a matter of fact, it's probably better if you're not. Yeah, sure, anybody could be confrontational and could be an asshole. And I'm using these terms up front because, you know, we need to remember sometimes, even though we're coming up onto the Christmas holiday season. And I'm using that because, I'll explain a little bit later, but it comes back around to Seth Andrews. This time of the year, the idea is to be nice to each other, a little bit more than normal. And I think that's something that we can and probably should take with each of us as skeptics, as atheists, as people who disagree on some stuff, for whatever the reason. But Wheaton's rule is a really good one, and it's one that we should remember to follow whenever we have the opportunity. Wheaton's rule from Will Wheaton, don't be a dick. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. As a matter of fact, it sounds like a really good rule. And as we know full well, atheists and skeptics and agnostics and whatever labels you want to put on us, it's real easy to fall into that trap. Anybody could be an angry Matt Dillahunty. Anybody could be a bad, amazing atheist. Anybody could be yelling and screaming at people. But why don't we just, once in a while, just be nice? We can disagree without being a dick.
To paraphrase Dalton, rule 3, be nice. If someone gets in your face and calls you a bleep, I want you to be nice. Ask him to talk. Be nice. If he won't talk, talk to him. But be nice. If you can't talk to him, one of the others will help you, and you will both be nice. I want you to remember that it's the job. It's nothing personal.
There is that.
I want you to be nice until it's time to not be nice.
There's always time for that.
Yeah.
So, as I said during the 5 minutes, I have something that we're going to do that I didn't warn them about ahead of time because I was busy looking at...
You're going to drink the blood of Christ from a pewter cup?
I got an even better one, by the way. Stormfront, if you ever get the opportunity of seeing, I was talking about this particular chalice that I've got over here. This was a present a while ago. This has got my...
Is that a unicorn dragon?
It is just a dragon. It actually looks a little Celtic to the way that I would normally expect. But that's
a little blurry on my screen, but I think that's just my settings.
It's okay. Anyway, I decided what we were going to do is give me an opportunity of downloading the video after we get done with it so I can extract a section of audio. Because we are going to go ahead and each of us do the introduction, the Farnsworth quote, for the Scathing Atheist, one after the other, so that I can splice us together one after the other. Now, for those of you that are unaware, the Scathing Atheist typically opens with the Farnsworth quote, which is...
We did indeed evolve from filthy monkey men.
Exactly right.
So, I thought it was going to be the, I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
That there could be that. And you may end up using that in a couple of moments. But I would like to get us each to go ahead and do the intro one after the other. And like I said, I will download the audio and I will splice it up as necessary so that we will each have a couple of words to put into it so we're all part of it. So, what I'm going to have you do is one after the other. Hi, I'm blah, and we did, in fact, evolve from filthy monkey men. You may alternatively put, and women, or whatever, but that's the gist of it. So, Neith, Heath, Lucinda, and Noah, holy jeebus, I just tried to say all three names simultaneously. That doesn't work. And truthfully, I've only had a couple of sips just now, so this hasn't... I don't have any excuses. So, going one after the other, Heretic Woman, when you're ready, I'm going to mute myself out. Guys, if you would mute yourselves, we will do this.
This is Heretic Woman, and we did indeed come from filthy monkey men.
That works out good. Okay, Tech, you're going to be up Well, when you are ready, you can unmute yourself and go right ahead.
Here, take, you want to put your mute on real quick? Thank you. I'm Unrenown Tech, and we did indeed evolve from filthy monkey men. Even idiots like me know that.
Okay, Joe, your turn when you're ready.
Hi. Are you having a good time? My name's Joe, and yes, we did indeed evolve from filthy monkey men.
All right, there we go. And you guys will be able to turn your microphones back on momentarily, because I want your reactions. Hi, I'm Shujin Tribble, host of Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. And we did, in fact, evolve from filthy monkey My Little Ponies. All right, fine, monkey men and women and dogs and fish and birds and stuff. Perfect timing, because all of a sudden every goddamn device that I've got suddenly woke up and said, Talking Wallflower wants to talk to you. Jesus. Google, I love you, but oh, mother. See,
it would have helped if I'd actually seen that before you asked me to do that.
It was good.
You're fine. You're fine.
And Chris is right. It is awesome to make a tuxedo out of duct tape.
Because then I could have...
And a prom dress.
I could have gone...
Yes, and if you can get both people to wear the matching attire that way, they're both exponentially epic.
Yep.
I could have said something
especially if they don't
wittier.
Stick together.
I could have said something wittier along the lines of... Fine. As a professor of, you know... mass destruction. I assure you. See, I'm not a television person. Not because I have anything against television. After all, it's responsible for about 90% of my upbringing. But
there is that.
I just don't have one. I don't have one. I haven't had the money to actually buy one. I don't have the money for cable. I barely have the money for internet.
That's okay. Personally, I've actually not seen that particular episode, and I've only seen a few episodes of Futurama. But
yes, Chris.
Well played, Chris.
Chris, well played. You evolved from the monkey who was standing away from all the other ones, beating their chests around the big monolith, sipping at the pond water. Savages.
Yeah.
Well played, good sir. Cheerio. I'm going to go over here and throw poo now.
So, tonight is episode number 45, and as you can probably tell, we have all kinds of holiday cheer already, probably because it's late and we've been busy and a little burnt out and stuff. Me, personally? Yeah, I've had a week of delivering 1,000 pounds worth of apple pies this past week in one day. Going from Buffalo to Rochester and then back. No. At this point,
you had access to 1,000. Hold on a moment. You had access to 1,000 pounds of apple pie, and you did not just hijack the truck?
No, I didn't, and I'll tell you why. Because that would have meant that I would have had to have gassed it up. Oh, screw that noise. I never liked apple pie growing up. And these apple pies, these are really good apple pies. Joe, you tried one at Anthrocon at one point. Yeah, so me to be able to say that, you know, I like these apple pies, that says something. And the problem, you see, is that this van that I drive, I don't particularly care for that van. I think it's probably
it's
best
not the
van.
It's the pie.
I know.
You could have had the pie.
I could have had 1,000 pounds worth of...
If you could get the pie van, if you could hijack the pie van and then hijack an E's ice cream truck, you have it.
We'll see what you can do about
it. They could throw me in jail. It'd be worth it at that point. It's like, it was worth it. And the judge would be going, yeah, it is. The jury would be going, yeah, it is.
So, for this week, since this is the holiday season right now, I decided that for the title, I was going to borrow from a fairly famous parody song, Chipmunks Roasting on an Open Fire, which, if you really need it explained for you, just look it up on YouTube. I'm sure you can find it somewhere.
Hot sauce dripping from their toes.
Exactly. You might be able to find it on Kazaa, maybe. You can try that. Go ahead, try that.
Does Kazaa even exist anymore?
Don't tell them.
That is old school. Damn.
I was going to say,
on an open fire.
I was using that about 8 or 10 years ago. It was good.
You were using it, and you're admitting it?
Yeah.
Do you realize that the government is... Well, wait, you're Canadian, never mind.
Yeah.
Not to mention, I think the statute of limitations has pretty well run its course.
But just because I used it doesn't mean I was downloading anything copyrighted, you know?
Do you honestly think Lars Ulrich gives a damn about the statute of limitations?
Yeah, well, I didn't download his stupid Metallica anyway, so...
Napster, what you gonna do? Yeah,
I was even on the original Napster. I missed that.
Damn, I forget what.
You know what? I worked in the retail sales music aspect when Napster, the original Napster, was around, and before Lars Ulrich or whatever the hell his name is sued him. And you know what? I used to, daily, every single day, I lost count of the amount of people who would come into my store and go, hey, listen, I heard this song on Napster. It was such and such song. It said it was by such and such artist. Do you have it? And it's 9 times out of 10, they usually had it right. But every once in a while, they had the name of the song right, and somebody had misattributed the artist. And and they'd walk out with the $15 to $20 CD from downloading one MP3.
Yep.
It was like, you cannot tell me. And when Napster got shut down from court, the sales of CDs in my store the next week, it just plummeted. And it stayed down ever since.
And what do we have now? Oh, that's right, iTunes.
Yep. Well, there's a whole bunch of different things. And as a matter of fact, that's a topic that I want to see about discussing later, because there's several pieces about it that I find really interesting societally. So we will kind of go along with that. Wallflower is asking, is Kazaa like Bear Share? Yes, because they're both dead.
No.
Yes.
So that pretty well covers
Kazaa was the best child wannabe of Napster and failed miserably. In fact, Kazaa was the leading reason why so many people had freaking viruses on their computer.
I never got one from it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, well, you weren't searching for porn most of the time.
True. This is true.
Now we know why. And now we know why text camera is pixelated.
We'll see about cleaning that up later. And
I like
is
that
parachute
Fisher like grinder.
Yeah. No. I'm going to go with no, because I'm not quite sure what. I'm sure I have no idea what that is. We'll save that one. Because we'll
grinder like Tinder.
I don't know. So
it sounds like it would go along with it, because Tinder's that like matching service, hot or not, basically. And you know, if you get together, why not have a grinder? You know, Tinder, grinder.
See, sounds me cool. Down here, a grinder for me is a sandwich, which that's another discussion. Believe it or not, that's actually what I want to talk about sometime later. Somebody remind me that I want to talk about localized dialects later, because that I find really interesting to figure out who's been talking about what in what language, and because clarity of language is a big thing to me. But we'll come back to that one later.
Shujin?
You
want to talk about localized dialects later.
I'm going to start off with you. What's the word that I need to use?
I don't think you can use that word, because this isn't the Power of Pin show.
No, it's not. It'll have to wait. You know what?
It is a holiday episode, so there's definitely tensions rising throughout the world. I think it would be validated.
There is that. Plus, I've only got a couple more days to be nice for Santa. Because if there's one thing I know, when the fat man comes, nobody wants to be around at the bad time. Shh. Thank you. So,
okay, for those, let's do a disclaimer real quick here. For those of you watching with children, and you and your children have a certain understanding, you may want to send your children to bed because we may give away little adult secrets.
Well,
and we're not talking about the stork either.
Well, considering it's like midnight, 12:30, they should be in bed anyway.
They might be watching this on playback tomorrow or the day after on YouTube.
True, okay.
Yes. I'm sorry, but if your kids are watching this as playback at some point, you as a parent really, really need to start stepping up your game on the whole keeping track of your kids' browsing history.
Better yet, just buy them a 3DS. They'll have more entertainment value.
Sorry, put them outside!
Or you could do that. So let's see. What were some of the festivals and observances that I found doing a search? I found for the tail end of December, longest night Decemberine Hogs Watch or Festivus. Oh God, how the hell do you? Why the hell isn't Dallin here? I need him to pronounce this one. Modern. I think there's a phlegm thing in there. Saturnalia, which, by the way, given the opportunity, I would so go for Saturnalia.
Saturnalia sounds pretty cool.
You won't remember a damn thing, but you'll have a good time. You'll know that.
Kind of like the 60s. Hanukkah, Yule, Human Light, Newtonmas, Kwanzaa, Boxing Day, Feast of Winter Veil, Winter Solstice, Christmas, Krampusnacht. So many events that happen this last month of the year, and especially with the last half of it. The first piece that I want to make sure that we're all aware of, we don't really care what it is that you celebrate. We really, really don't. We don't care what you call it by. We just want you to know that we're trying to have a good time, and there are certain things that we feel are really worth celebrating. Even if you are a J-dub and you don't celebrate it, there's nothing wrong with going out for dinner and getting dressed up for that dinner, right? I mean, even you guys can do that. And for all of you Amish who are watching right about now. So, we'll
by the way, for those of you who are Jewish and watching, happy Hanukkah.
Very much so. Now,
and we're sorry for Mel Gibson.
Tell me about it.
So, I am not apologizing for that man.
Some time ago, I was fortunate enough to get some time to talk with and interview with Seth Andrews from The Thinking Atheist. Wonderful gentleman. Every good thing you've ever heard about him absolutely underscores how amazing a person he is. And I'm not gonna say it as a skeptic, as an atheist, as a whatever. He was just a wonderful person to talk to. He was great with me, and trying not to be starstruck with a guy who is basically my age, who has been on radio, on commercial radio, granted Christian radio, but still commercial. He knew his stuff, and he's got a wonderful way of talking. When I spoke with him about Christmas and the holiday season, he told me some stuff that has really stuck with me, which is, for him, as an atheist, one of the most visible of atheists, for him, it's Christmas. Because for him, it's not Christ Mass. Because for him, it's Christmas. The same way that you would go out and you would get Levi's 501s, or you would get Jordache, or you would get, doesn't matter what, Stetson, or you would get any other blue jeans by any other name, they're still blue jeans, they're still pants.
Stetson doesn't make blue jeans.
Uh, I, I think I vaguely remember that there was, or maybe I'm thinking of the wrong name.
How about Wrangler?
Wrangler was also another good one. Now, the point of it is, it doesn't matter what you call the holiday season by, because when all is said and done, it's a party. One way or another, it's a celebration. It's a party. It's good times. It's family. It's get-together. It's a little bit more indulgence of enjoying the time with people that you like. So it doesn't really matter what you call it by, because it's just a brand name. The same way that you could go out, you could get Coke, you could get Pepsi, you could get RC, you could get White Rock, you could get whatever carbonated beverage you want that is dark brown slash black. It's still the same thing. It's got a different taste to it, but it's still the same thing. So as far as to calling it whatever, don't care. We can use the terms interchangeably because it's all referring to the same times. There are different tastes, of course. For instance, Saturnalia was basically a giant hedonistic drink and revelry fest, where Christmas is very much not. And even Christmas itself is a whole bunch of different types.
Kind of depends on where you're celebrating it.
It's true. It's true. But at the same time, we've all grown up with some celebration of some other. And generally speaking, and I'm talking, like I said, very generally, it would have been called Christmas. And we're going to get to, and I haven't looked at the Q&A lines just yet, so I'll get to you guys in just a couple moments. We've dealt with a lot of stuff, and we've had a lot of different presents and a lot of things that we've enjoyed. But I want to deal with the big elephant in the room. The war on Christmas. I want to find out. First, Joe, who is waging the war on Christmas? You are someone who knows about war. Who's waging this war?
Can't say I've participated on that war. But, you know, the funny thing is, to my knowledge, it ain't so much the atheists. Oddly enough, it tends to be the more religious folk who are saying, you know, whole equal opportunity thing. We need to balance this out. You can't have this without having some of this.
Funny enough, I'm going to be hitting that in a second. Tech, who's waging this war? Who's doing this?
First off, there's no war on Christmas. The general atheist community, the general Freedom for Freedom from Religion Foundation, the ACLU, and all the other groups out there that want equality, are not telling people that they can't put a Christmas tree up in their home, that they can't put up a menorah in their window or a nativity scene on their lawn. What they're saying is, listen, if you have a government property which falls under the rules of how our government was formed and the rules of our government, they cannot put those kinds of religious symbols on their property because it directly conflicts with the concept that we have a secular government. It directly breaks the law of our government not supporting one religion over another. Okay. Yep. You want equality. Well, you know, how are you going to feel if Christmas time comes around and your local fire department doesn't put out a nativity scene or menorah? Instead, they put out some kind of, I don't know if they have one, but let's say for sake of argument, they do. But from the Islamic faith, let's say the Muslims put out some kind of scene there. How is that going to make you as a Christian or a Jew feel?
Yep.
All right, and hold it right there, I've heard the arguments of being a Christian nation, and we're not. And it's basically this whole concept, in my opinion, of a war on Christmas is nothing more than a bunch of people being confused about our government being secular, not religious.
Good. Right there. That's what I was hoping for. Now, Heretic Woman,
yes.
Up there in Canada, you guys don't get Fox News, so obviously you have no problem whatsoever with saying, what war on Christmas? What are you talking about, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, who's waging it? Invisible gremlins, because there's no such thing. But what I see is it's also this idea of losing that privilege, you know, that, hey, we're Christian and we get to put our nativity scenes wherever the hell we want and all of that. And you know, with the idea of stepping up and saying, well, no, you can't just do that anywhere you want. And they're whining about losing that privilege again. And that, I just find that so irritating. It's like Tech said, no one's saying you can't put a tree in your house. No one's saying you can't put a nativity scene on your own lawn, but don't put it at my city hall because, you know, you're not the only game in town. But that, it doesn't happen here. We don't do that. Public places, they don't put anything like that up anymore, and I don't remember it being an issue ever, really.
Which is fortunate. Now, I mentioned specifically Fox News because one of the groups that tends to be a huge proponent of the concept of the war on Christmas, and if you can't hear the air quotes, I'm sorry, can't help you, I'm not going to do it because it's... Forgive me, I'm going to piss people off. I'm sorry, but doing the whole air quote thing is gay, so I'm not going to do it. Fox News tends to be, very, very tends to be, very Republican, very right-leaning, very religious-leaning. Now, I say tends to be, because, as any good person, I would reserve judgment because I've not seen every second of film that's ever been shot over there, or video, or encoded, or whatever the hell it is. But generally speaking, that's where it ends up coming from. It's exactly as was stated. The privilege is slowly going away, because the rule of law here in the U.S. at least is, you want to do stuff for yourself? Go right ahead. You want to do it on your property? You want to make it gaudy as all hell? By all means. You want to go ahead and put it at your place of worship, and you all want to pitch together and pay for the electricity for these halogen-lit inflatable
monstrosities.
Things? Sure, yeah. Go right ahead. God love you. You want to have a fun time with that? Go right ahead. But when it's the electrical bill that I'm helping to pay for because I'm paying taxes, I've got a problem with that one. If it's because police have to be on duty because if something happens over there, something gets vandalized, my tax money has to go into prosecuting and fixing, no, I got a problem with that. Although, to be fair, were it one of the Satanists with one of theirs, just the entertainment value, I might ask, but I know full well I would much rather have it on my property because I would have the opportunity to see it every stinking day. And if I put it on the edge of my property, everybody else driving by would get to see it every stinking day. And isn't that wonderful? Isn't that lovely?
Well, go ahead, Joe. I have a four-seat snowman lined up.
Sure. Joe?
I just... Beth had made a comment in the Q&A, and it's just eating at me. Beth, when you get the chance, you be sure to let our pal Barton know that, actually speaking, you know, technically speaking, if he looks in the very Constitution, under the little section we call the Bill of Rights, you know, the First Amendment, free exercise clause, excuse me, no, not Santa Claus, free exercise clause, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. You can do what you want, but you can't do it with the government.
Yes, and just to make sure that we're covered on that one, would you exactly say who this Barton is? Because the only Barton I happen to know is the one who, you know, has arrows of all kinds of description and is in the movies.
You just made my head hurt.
Come on, you got to go ahead and you explain it. You wanted to take it, it's all yours.
I don't actually know about it, but I'm going to go ahead and get the information for you.
It's a guy named David Barton, and he is a history revisionist.
Yeah,
he likes to look at the quote, oh, sorry, air quotes, the history of Confederation and twist it into thinking that it is all, you know, Christianified.
His idea is that he believes that the founding fathers wanted the Bible to be taught in our schools.
Yeah. And I believe the idea is that the wall of separation is only one way, meaning that Christianity should be protected, but it should be prevalent everywhere.
Yeah, which is something that I heard recently, that the quote-unquote wall of separation in Australia is interpreted a little bit different than it is here in the U.S., where in Australia, the interpretation is government should not get into screwing around with religion, which is a little bit different. Yeah. Obviously, that's a one-way mirror, as far as I'm concerned. But that's another piece.
I'm looking at some of this guy's quotes, and I'm just, ow.
Head desking.
Well, interestingly, I think it was one of his books where he used a bunch of quotes from founding fathers, and a number of them were apocryphal, and some of them were outright fake.
Listen to this. As Barton put it, the Christianity in existence during the Inquisition was one in which the Bible had no role.
And you'll notice, I'm sorry, you folks, you might notice that before he started talking, I finished my drink and swallowed, because the last thing I need is to be buying a new monitor in the middle of the show.
Yeah.
He actually says that the Inquisition, you can't call it Christianity. It was really a hijacked religion. It was the it was abuse of power in the name of Christianity.
Uh-huh.
So, Tech, you've been very quiet on this one. So I want to throw it. I want to throw a bit of a twist on for you. As far as Hanukkah is concerned, because you would have more experience about that one than we would. How many times over are we going to finally hear about the war on Hanukkah? I mean, it's got to be driving you guys nuts that, you know, Juneteenth. It's basically the same kind of thing as that. Kwanzaa is trying to take over and replace the white candles with green ones. I mean, where do you draw the line?
You know, I had a little bit of fun in my retail days when people would say Merry Christmas to me. I would turn around and say Happy Hanukkah if Hanukkah wasn't over yet, or if it was the week before it would begin. And then they would turn to me and go, but I'm not Jewish. And I said, that's okay, I'm not Christian. And they would just be, like, defeated and deflated and walk out. You know, this was usually at the end of a transaction. And the next time they came back, they'd wish me a Happy Hanukkah instead of a Merry Christmas, unless Hanukkah was over, in which case they'd wish me a Merry Christmas. And that was usually kind of that. Every once in a while, you know, depending on where I was working when I did it, I might have a manager go, you know, listen, you really need to say Merry Christmas or Happy Holiday or whatever the heck. And, you know, nice little discussion with Sue. But when I would say Happy Holidays, you wouldn't be surprised at how many people would suddenly take a big offense to that.
I don't get that.
See, I'm sorry. There's no difference between saying Happy Holidays and wishing somebody a Happy Hanukkah or a Merry Christmas. You're saying, listen, I don't know what you celebrate, but it's a holiday season with lots of holidays blended into it.
And now
I'm wishing
you
the best.
I smoke. Now you people know why I smoke.
By the way, hold on. Before we get too far, I want to say this one because I just did a quick translate. Rami, who is listening in right now from Gaza directly. First off, thank you for staying awake for us or getting up early or whatever it is for you at this point. And please forgive me. It took me a couple of moments to actually copy your name because of the language so that I could put it through the translator. Thank you very much for hanging out with us. Very, very pleased to see you over there.
Assalamu alaikum.
Whatever language works for you to put your stuff over to us, you know, feel free. Sorry about that. I just wanted to get him real quick because, I mean, come on, somebody from Gaza? That's nice. Yeah.
I apologize. My Arabic is terrible, and I'm pretty sure Gaza is in the Arabic area as far as dialect goes, unless it's Pashto. No, I don't think it's Pashto.
It's okay.
I'm trying to remember, and it's been a few years since I've been over there.
All right, Tech, Hanukkah, you were. I'm sorry, rudely interrupting you. I'm sorry.
It's cool. There's no real war on Hanukkah because the way the Christians see it is, now I can't say this is all Christians. Okay, there are many different people out there with many different beliefs. The ones that I have talked to, that I have had a chance to actually sit down and have in-depth conversations with, a lot of them don't see Hanukkah as a Christmas holiday. They see it as something completely separated, predominantly celebrated over in Israel. Mm. Or in isolated Jewish communities here in the United States. They don't see it's basically a form of ignorance is what it is. And I don't mean to use the term, and I don't use the term ignorance in a pejorative way. You know, I'm not using it to call them stupid. I'm using it to say that they have a level of ignorance about the Jewish community. It doesn't mean that they can't change that ignorance. It's not necessarily a willful ignorance, okay? It's just a lack of knowledge.
And this, we've said on many an occasion.
And you know, I grew up in the Jewish community, so I have a different level of awareness.
Yeah, exactly. That's something that we've said on many an occasion for us. There is nothing wrong with the word, with the term, ignorant or ignorance. It is something that is curable by learning. That's one of the biggest parts about all this.
And if anybody who's watching is familiar with Aaron Raw, one of his pet peeves is not ignorance. It is willful ignorance.
Oh, and ignorance.
Willful ignorance is when you refuse to learn.
Oh, yes.
When you refuse to comprehend or understand or even make an attempt. Okay? You may truly never understand some particular topic, but if you make the attempt, people give you credit for trying.
We Darwinists have a word for this. Extinction.
Mother Nature does not make... She does not give you warnings. She sets examples.
Very true. All right, so thank you, of course, for watching. We are about two-thirds of the way through our scheduled time. You are watching Holy Crap, the vlogcast. Time flies, man. And... The topic is, of course, chipmunks roasting because it's the holiday season, and we're talking about a couple of different pieces about it. If you would like to join in with questions, please, by all means, if you're watching live, just go ahead and drop something over in the Q&A system. We'll get to you as quickly as we can. If you would like to send more other information our way, of course, you can use chujintribble@gmail.com and get to that eventually, and we'll see what's going on with that. I also do have Facebook and Twitter open simultaneously, so if you want to drop me a message that way, you can always do that live. I am giving serious consideration to a near-future show where we talk about what we're going to be doing for the next year's worth of shows. Remember, we've been going for almost a year, but it doesn't reflect in the number of episodes because we've had a couple of bye weeks. So when episode 52 comes up, We'll talk about some other stuff. So at this point, now that we've gone through some of the stuff, and I'm giving Chris, who's watching right now and threw something up on the Q&A, I'm giving Chris the last word on this one, which is, I believe that on state property, and speaking here at least in the U.S., from what I'm assuming, although Chris is over in England, specifically England, as opposed to the U.K., which, yes, there's a difference. Suck it up and learn your geography.
I suppose it would apply to any nation that has a degree of separation.
Hmm. But I believe that on state property, they can do generic Christmas stuff like trees and snowmen and stuff, but the explicitly religious stuff like nativity scenes, but not the explicitly religious stuff like nativity scenes. And generally speaking, yeah, I believe that that would be quite accurate. I am not a scholar of law, but generally speaking, as a layperson, I would expect that that would very, very likely be exactly the right way of doing it and the right way of looking at it. Because those, how can you complain about snowflake?
Yeah.
Those are what we would describe as seasonal items.
Yes.
As opposed to religious items.
As
everybody builds snowmen.
Exactly.
Everyone builds snowmen. Everybody, you know, the Christians aren't the only ones, at least, to decorate a tree.
Sure.
In fact, it could be argued they weren't the first.
They weren't.
No. Actually, it was Thor. I mean, he would light entire forests on fire in the middle of whenever the hell he wanted, and boom,
I thought that was Smog.
Smog.
You're saying it wrong.
Smog.
I'm not hearing the difference.
Yes. Collectively, from all of us, Mr. How's it pronounced? Is it Colbert?
Colbert.
Colbert?
Colbert.
Mr. Colbert.
Colbert.
Colbert. I got it now. Got it. Stephen, congratulations on your run, and we collectively wish you well on whatever your new endeavor is going to be, really. For those of you that don't know, Stephen Colbert finally ended his long run, and he had a great send-off episode. If you don't get the opportunity of having seen it live, so to speak, look it up, because it was a great, great song. It was really, really great to see all the folks that didn't exactly phone it in so much as videoed it in. That was really, really classy. So kudos to all you guys. So as far as gifts and presents and specials, we know full well that the JWs, the Jehovah's Witnesses, frown on this kind of thing. They don't celebrate freaking anything, really. Which is kind of sad in a lot of ways, because you don't get birthday presents, you don't get anything. It's another day. But we know full well that for the vast majority of people, regardless of what you celebrate, there's something to be had. For instance, Saturnalia, you would be drinking a lot. You'd be drinking a lot.
Clothes are optional.
Clothes are very optional. And considering that they were, you know, out where it's beautiful weather all the time, kinda, unless the Kraken shows his ugly head, you know, it's easy enough to just, you know, oh, let me just move this flap.
Unless, you know, you're chilling and, you know, spending your weekend in Pompeii.
Yeah, which...
Yeah, or Herculaneum.
Burning down the... I'm sorry. So, Wallflower is specifically asking me, where is my box of... it's been 13 years and nothing but socks and dried fruit. You know what? If you converted to Pastafarianism, I could have gotten you not only the midget hookers, but I could have gotten you the beer volcanoes and
the stripper factory.
Nope.
I've got what? The answer to this.
What?
See, Wallflower, this is why you're not supposed to throw away your fruitcakes. Come on, have you never considered that the hookers were inside the fruitcake? I mean, they're midget hookers, obviously, so... Surprise! You threw that fruitcake away! Now don't you feel silly?
I don't know. Heretic husband actually eats the fruitcakes. He likes them.
I don't like fruitcake.
But I wear steel coat boots as a precaution.
Sir? What is wrong with you?
Me?
What's wrong with me?
No, I'm speaking to Heretic husband.
They want to know what's wrong with you for eating.
I have eaten some of the most terrible things you can possibly put into a human body. Believe me, if you've ever heard of the word K-ration, you know what the hell I'm talking about.
Let's also what remember there's lead too.
Doing eating the fruitcake. I'm pretty
said
sure
said it
that
goes
there's...
very well with the kimchi that he likes.
Wow, that is.
Wait, that doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
That really doesn't work.
Especially since he's a Buddhist.
For those of you who are scratching your heads, kimchi is a wonderful dish from the wonderful people of South Korea, whom I've gotten to know over the years. And their idea of a good time is to take a bunch of cabbage and spices and such, put in a pot and bury it and let it ferment for a couple of years, and then eat it.
Yeah.
What does not kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah.
After all, we've seen that, you know, you let bread ferment after a while, you get something that's antibacterial, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, technically, if it should make you healthy, right, Joe? Right?
That stuff stinks, man. Like,
no, we can believe it.
No, I'm sorry. There are no redeeming qualities of kimchi. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I tried, people. I couldn't even get past the smell.
I keep my dairy products in another refrigerator because it makes it taste funny.
I don't blame you. You know what, Tech? Let's open this piece up since we're talking about it. For you, holiday fare for food. What do you remember? What has always been happy for you for this time of year?
Peanut butter cookies.
Mm.
Okay, and for like a big holiday dinner type thing, family gathering type foods?
Peanut butter cookies. Homemade All right, peanut butter cookies.
All right, then. Joe, you want to go ahead. I see it.
You'll have to excuse me. I need to take care of something with one of my cats. Here.
As
no
for me, it'd have to be Mom's ham. She made the most excellent glazed ham you have ever tasted. And excuse me a minute.
It's quite all right. Not a worry, man.
Yeah, that's...
That's good enough for me. No worries. Heretic, be my guest.
My grandmother's shortbread cookies, which I now have the recipe of, and I just made a batch this evening.
Nice. And for dinnery type stuff?
Well... I am the world's pickiest eater, so I didn't actually eat most of what people had at Christmas dinner, so I don't know. The one thing that was weird at my mother's family, they always served Jell-O with the main course. Yeah, I know. It's like, what the hell? That's like, yeah, no, they would serve Jell-O with the main course.
Not Jell-O shots, I'm assuming, then.
No. No, just like that sort of, you know, molded Jell-O thing on a plate.
And since you had to bring up the Jell-O, there is something I want to say today. Whether or not any of it's true or not, I don't care. Bill, stay strong, and to the rest of you, all I can say is, whether or not there is any validity to any of these accusations, regardless, you're going about it the wrong way.
What are you referring to?
Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
So, let me throw something past you guys. Because I was, like I said, I was born into an Italian Roman Catholic household. Christmas Eve was very traditionally a non-meat dinner, typically rather large. And this was one of those times where we would indulge in fish. A lot of fish. So it was not unusual for there to be scallops and shrimp and fish. Sometimes, you know, Gordon's fish sticks, for instance.
Wait. Shujin, you're using the improper term. You indulged in sea kittens.
Yes, we did. However, it was also inclusive with pasta, like you wouldn't believe. And I never knew, because as a Roman Catholic, generally speaking, you don't read the Bible. I never knew that things like, you know, shrimp were an abomination and scallops were an abomination because they, well, look it up. It's Leviticus?
It's Leviticus.
It's 18, what the hell is it, like 1822 or something like that?
Somewhere in there. It's the
somewhere same, close to that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Leviticus is an old Latin word for killjoy.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But so I'd never known that, you know, all the stuff that culturally we Italians would do was just apparently pissing off Rome left, right, and center. Which, yeah, whatever. But there's something that, to that end, my wife had bought when Borders Books was still a thing. She had found a cookbook called The Italian Immigrant Cookbook by Elodia Rigante. Now, I don't know if this is still in print, but this is a marvelous tome, because it's not just the recipes, but interspersed it's also a whole bunch of old photos from the home country of old, you know, Little Italy in Brooklyn. It was what was happening with the family. It was pictures of Coney Island back when it used to be a thing, and stories about what was happening with the immigrants once they've come over. And then, why did you have all of the different types of foods? And one of the ones that my wife had found was something called, I forget exactly what it was called, but it was rice scallop casserole. It takes a bitchin' long time to make, because you have to strain a lot of tomatoes. But oh, it was freaking delicious. And I got to see about doing that sometime. So, if there are...
What did I miss?
No, not much. If there are certain traditions that your family does with food, learn what they are. Write them down. Keep them in a book somewhere. Never get rid of them, because you will remember this stuff for years and years to come. I mean...
This is where you were going with the food question you were asking me, huh?
Yes.
Okay, see, I misinterpreted your question.
See, that's why I was asking you about, you know,
see,
dinner type.
I thought you were talking about what was my favorite food, and mine was the homemade peanut butter cookies. But we have certain dishes that we make that are, you know, like we almost always have a ham.
Sure.
But it's a very particular ham, and it's always made in a very particular manner. All right. And it's always served with three specific mustards on the side. You know, and that's just something that we do because we all enjoy it.
Now, I'm guessing this was not put into the turkey fryer to be made.
Oh, There are so many videos of
those. Just a thought. wait a minute.
It was actually a boiled ham.
Well, that's a new one by me. I don't think I've ever heard
of ever boiled a ham.
I don't think so.
Well, first off, several things happen when you boil a ham. You have to get the right kind of ham that has the right balance of salt in it, because if you get one that's way too salty or not enough salt, it's not going to taste right. Okay?
Okay.
The size ham that we get is usually like a big sucker. Okay? It's not one of those little tiny hams. This is a big ham. It's got the bone that's so big you can pull the bone marrow out. Anyway, it goes in a pot. You put the water in the pot, only up about halfway, and then you cover it with foil. And it's a very slow cook. And what ends up happening is, first off, it doesn't dry out because it retains the water. Two, it doesn't lose its flavor because the juices go into the water and they go back into the ham again. Okay? And it's just the meat is tender. There's never any complaints about it. It's fall apart good. What you don't do is when you boil a ham, the part you're not going to want to eat is the skin, because it just doesn't taste right. I mean, if you had a food dehydrator, you could take it out after you've boiled the skin and dehydrate it. And then once you have it dehydrated, deep fat fry it, and you will have pork rinds, because boiling the skin is the first part of the process of making pork rinds.
Wow. If ever I wanted to die, I think that's probably the way that I would do it. by the way, Beth, who is watching and chiming in also, by the way, thank you very much, pointed us correctly, or mostly correctly. She's got it as Leviticus 11, 8 through 10. Now, I'm gonna truncate that instead to 9 and 10, because 8's not exactly quite on par with what we're going with. But for those that want to follow along at home, from the NIV, 9 and 10. Of all the creatures living in the water of the seas and the streams, okay, which is good, unless you happen to be living, you know, near the East River of New York City, but, you know, I don't know about that. You may eat any that have fins and scales, but all creatures in the seas or streams that do not have fins and scales, whether among all the swarming things or among all the other living creatures in the water, you are to regard as unclean. Okay, so shrimp, scallops, lobster, crawfish. Well, I guess technically that means that sushi is out, because the seaweed is just all kinds of wrong. And truthfully, that blows, because I love me some sushi.
Eel.
I love that. Eel. Well, good point. Eel.
No scales. Calamari.
Yep. Octopus, if you want to keep going that way.
Now, there was a story, and I forget where the hell it was now, but where beaver was declared a fish. Because,
we discussed this before, yes. We discussed beaver and capybara.
Yes.
Yep. And that was up in your neck of the woods.
Yes.
So to speak.
Yes. Fishy beaver.
Okay. Now, to that end, again, because...
Okay. One moment. Heretic, don't ever use those two words in that way. Those of you who are too young to understand, don't grow up.
Noah, Heath, feel free to rip that off. Just credit us, okay? Tech, because it's cultural, explain to me and everybody else, what the frick is gefilte fish exactly?
It's just a white fish. That's all. What? I don't know any... I don't know the process of the jelly type sauce that they put it in. I really never looked into it. What I do know is, if I get a jar of gefilte fish from there's a company out there that makes nothing but kosher products. They're called Manischewitz. Most people are familiar with them for either their matzah, which is a unleavened bread. It's basically a giant cracker, about as big as the box. And the egg matzah is really good with butter on it. Anyway, they're also very popular for their kosher wines. They make several other products, like borscht, which is beet soup. They actually call it beet soup. Borscht is a Russian name for it. Anyway, so the point is they make kosher products, and they do make their own gefilte fish. And last time I had it, I took a piece of it out of the jar, and I put horseradish on it. Because gefilte fish, by default, when you get it out of a jar, really doesn't have a lot of flavor to it. And with the horseradish, it was actually really, really good. By itself, I didn't like it. It's one of the few fishes I won't eat plain.
Can't say that blame you.
So, but it was a staple, just like certain other foods were staples. And that's about as far as I know about it. I never really dived into the history of gefilte fish. So you're asking the wrong guy for that one.
No. I mean, culturally speaking,
no. I know more about borscht than I know about gefilte fish.
Keep that in mind then. Also, again, Chris, chiming in again, thank you. For interesting midwinter festival food, try Thorablot.
Rocky Mountain oysters.
No. Thorablot. I hope that I'm not saying something that's going to get us attacked by, I don't know, Iceland? Oh, Iceland. I was about to say Finland. I'm glad I didn't. Icelandic winter festival included sheep head and boiled ram's testicle and fermented shark. Now, before we go too far with this one, sheep head. Okay, I've heard of otherwise strange items for eating, including tongue, which fortunately I never had to deal with. But
I've had calf's tongue, and I can honestly say it wasn't that it was tasted bad to me. I didn't like the texture of it.
Well, that's okay. I mean, I've had chicken and turkey ass. It's fine for me.
I'm sure that if somebody were to find a way to change the texture of it, I could get past that part and really enjoy it.
I can see that. Heretic, let me throw it your way. Do you know of any weird, strange foods? I'm having a hard time calling this food, but because I mean it's. I'll explain about that one in a second. But I mean, along that line. I mean, other than kimchi and fruit.
Yeah, the kimchi is pretty.
My sister likes kimchi.
Well, I can remember going to the butcher with my grandmother, and there's like the beef tongue in the display case there. No one ate that, thankfully. Our family was pretty bland when it comes to food. Like I say, the Jell-O was weird. Having Jell-O with the main course, and just never quite understood that, but no, I was probably the weird one with everything because I just am so picky. They would serve me bologna with my dinner because I would eat that.
Okay. And Joe, what about you? Weird. Well, I mean, you were out in a lot of different areas.
I've had a lot of experience with this. Everything from, you know, candied crickets to tarantula to, you know, any number of things you want to talk about. But the one that seems to get everybody's eyebrows in a quirk is when I talk about iguana.
Really?
I heard it tastes like chicken.
It is exactly where the actual term that comes from. Iguana does, in fact, taste exactly like chicken. The only difference you notice is that it's not as fatty as chicken. The texture is a little different. But it tastes just like chicken. In fact, so much so. And this is why this is the case. In Brazil, the iguana population is comparable to the chicken population here in the U.S. Huh. And they use it in very similar dishes, to the point where they even have an iguana noodle soup.
Well, my understanding with lizard meat is it also, while it and some of them actually end up tasting like chicken, they don't have the fatty lingering aftertaste because the meat is so lean. So it's actually a really good meat to eat if you're trying to buy it.
If you were to have a bowl of the chicken noodle soup and the iguana noodle soup, I would put money on it that most people wouldn't even be able to tell the difference. But that's one of those things that people get, huh? Another one is when I mentioned the dog farms in Korea. Historically speaking, and we're going back to the warring states periods of that of the Far East region of the world, beef was not plentiful, and therefore was generally a high-dollar commodity. For the general population, they did in fact eat dog. And to this day, there is as large a livestock and slaughter market for dogs in Korea as much as there is for beef here in the U.S., to the point where literally I had been stationed on a post, we called it Rock 3, and it was up on this hill, and from this hill you could see three farms to the south where, you know, you heard and you saw all the dogs, and yeah, it was a little disturbing at night when you hear all the whimpering and howling, but... No, mommy, no.
Well, to that end, there's a couple of pieces. First off, even though she's not watching, I'm hoping at some point or other the word gets over to her. Nicrodrone, who is an artist of some renown, had put out a tweet just a little while ago, as a matter of fact. Not an hour into Houston, Texas, and I've had catfish, crawfish, shrimp, mahi-mahi, and tomorrow is redfish. Necrodrone, you're doing it right. Have fun and safe travels down there. Now, what I was going to joke about a little bit was that not for my family specifically, but for my wife's. Her mom, who was from Japan, did not see anything at all wrong with when they had fish. Of basically all parts were fair game, including the eyes, which squicked my wife to no end when she was a kid. Now, I kind of get that. Now, there is something to be said for that kind of revulsion. I don't know exactly what it is culturally or even beyond that, because that's a weird thing. I mean, that even made it into... Jonathan Coulton's song of Re Your Brains, where at one point he says, nobody's going to eat your eyes. Now, why that is, I don't exactly get, but one of these days, if we have a cultural anthropologist, we can kind of discuss that if they're willing to not worry about throwing up. But as far as food is concerned, and Chris made a good thing about gefilte fish. Basically, everything's been removed from it, like bones and whatnot, so you don't have to worry about it, which, you know, you're not allowed to work during, and, I mean, pulling bones is considered work, so. Okay, it makes perfect sense. But we're getting pretty close to the end, so I want us to go ahead and get closing out with, not with what do we want now, because we're gonna close with that one. But what do you remember as one of your favorite seasonal gifts? And I'm saying seasonal, of course, because it doesn't matter what name you're gonna put it under.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I have, two of the things that I've always remembered, All right, there were a number of things that I remember. Real short versions. The Atari 2600, when it was still new. That was amazing. Something that was not electronic that I absolutely adored was a skateboard. I was given a skateboard, and my street, unfortunately, was not the cleanest of streets. It was paved, yes, but even though we were out in the suburbs, there were still a lot of rocks. And you would be surprised, when you're 11 years old, a rock this small will throw you face first onto the street from your skateboard because it gets wedged into the spot between where the wheel is and where the road is. If you've ever wondered why they use chucks to stop big, like multi-ton vehicles from moving, that's why. It works really good on 10-year-old, 12-year-old bodies, too. I may still have a couple of pieces of skin that haven't quite grown back yet. Maybe, I don't know. It's hard to remember the couple of scars up here from why I don't remember, I think. Joe, I'm going to go up the list this time. Joe, what faves have you ever had from your childhood?
Sadly, my childhood is not something I can recollect in great detail, courtesy of one too many blows to the head.
That's okay.
But one thing I do remember...
Let's call it your second childhood, then.
I think it was 13, 14, something along those lines. My mother had gotten me... this was when I was first getting into drawing and doodling and all that. My mother had gotten me this set of markers. They were the markers that you could use like regular markers, but they had these long, clear caps with holes at the end. And if you took the cap off, inverted it, and stuck it over the marker and blew on it, it worked like an airbrush.
Ooh.
That's pretty hot.
I remember that.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
That is actually really cool. Tech, how about you?
I have a present I'll never forget because I didn't know it existed until I actually received it as a present for Christmas. just so people know, growing up as a kid, we ended up celebrating both Hanukkah and Christmas. So I had 9 days of presents.
Nice.
Well, for the Hanukkah one, it was one present each night, each increasing in either size or value from there. And really, by the time you got to the eighth day, really, it wasn't like we were getting $1,000 presents or whatever. I did not grow up in a rich household. You know, it might have been at most 40. You know, so, but all together, it was still fun. So I get under a tree, I pick up this one box, this giant box, and it sounds like it has Legos in it, so... Granted, I had a big thing for Legos, and I still do, and so it was the first thing I opened. It was also the last thing I opened for about 4 hours. And what it was the Lego Space Monorail, fully motorized, with lights and sound.
Wow.
And I built the whole damn thing before. And my parents were like, come on, you got to come back. You need more stuff to open up. And I was like, no,
I'm good. Like,
I still have it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't have the box anymore. I have the instructions. I have the parts. They're all in a Rubbermaid plastic container.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one day I will give them to my son.
Any kid who receives a Lego set... for anything, be it Christmas or a birthday, you just write off the next couple hours of their time because as soon as they open that box, they're going to be sitting in the corner.
Oh, yeah. It was funny. 2 years ago, I picked up my son one of the Lego train sets that had the infrared remote control. So it was fully motorized. and it was remote controlled to go forwards and backwards along the track. And his mother called to wish him a Merry Christmas, and he was just like, okay, okay. And then he went back to playing, and he forgot to hang up the phone, and so I hear her talking, and it's just like, yeah, click.
All right, Heretic, your turn. What do you remember real good?
Well, I remember the year I got a Cabbage Patch doll. That was back when you know, mothers were beating each other up to get them. But a better story that I remember, and my family still tells this all the time, but I had a younger brother who was about 6 years younger than me, who's unfortunately since passed. But I was about 18, I think 12 or 13, and of course I was long past, you know, I knew mother was Santa, whatever. And she used to put my brother's presents on, because we didn't have a fireplace or any of that crap. So my brother's presents would go on one end of the sofa, and mine would go on another end of the sofa. And we each had a stocking with our name on it that would get put out and whatnot. So I've always been a night owl. I mean, always. And so at Christmas, I mean, I can remember being 7, 8 years old and waking up at midnight and being told to get my ass back to bed. But this time I must have woken up about, oh, I don't know, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And I, like I said, I was about 12 or 13. And so I wanted, well, hey, it's morning, I can open my presents now. So I snuck out to the living room, you know, and made sure in the dark, you know, making sure I was being quiet and everything. And of course, Mom always put the presents in the same place. So I go to, quote, my end of the sofa, and I start opening things. And I'm like, tabletop hockey. Well, that's unusual, but that's fun. Okay, whatever. And
where'd the refrigerator come from?
Yeah. I opened all of my brother's presents.
Oh.
And I don't know why I didn't clue in that they were not my presents. I sat there, I'm like, okay, tabletop hockey, you know, oh, you know, little cars and things. I'm like, okay, different, but this is fun. And oh, was he livid? Like, he would have been about 8 or 9 or so.
You told him to open all your presents.
That's what my mother said. He's like, I don't want to open her stupid crap, you know. And oh. I never lived that down. They still tell that story.
No, and I don't blame them one bit. Wow. on the fair, you were young.
Yes.
you're excitable. It was yep. Christmas.
You were still using deductive reasoning.
Yeah.
Usually over here. So
exactly.
I'll stuff over here.
That's right. And I didn't want to turn on the light because I didn't want my mother to wake up and know I was out, because she would have yelled at me to go back to bed.
Your first problem right there.
For shame.
I remember, like, I must have been like 7 or 8, waking up at literally midnight, going, oh, it's tomorrow. And my dad being like, you can take one thing out of your damn stocking and get the hell back to bed. And I was like, but it's tomorrow. Come on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was something that was apparently a thing for my wife and their family. It's Christmas. It's 12:01. Okay. One item and then go back to bed. That's it. Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, I don't know. There was also something about the Christmas pickle, but that was covered by John Green on YouTube, and you guys can look that one up later.
I'm going to try one of them.
Christmas pickle? I'm afraid to ask.
It's a thing. I'll explain about it later. But one of the I just remembered one of the toys that broke that, oh my God, I wish we still had today. And if and or when I ever get a 3D printer, the very, very first thing I will want to recreate from my childhood. The Star Trek Mego communicator walkie-talkies. Oh, nice. My God.
Oh, you got the Star Trek ones? I had the G.I. Joe ones, and they had the label on it for Morse code.
Yep. There was also the version with Batman and Robin. The communicator walkie-talkies. I'm about to blow our PG-13 reading. They were the shit. Oh my God, these things were great. Look them up. You know what? I'll look them up in a second. Joe, you look like you got something else that you want to throw onto that one.
Nope, I'm just enjoying the scenery.
And here I am. I'm typing and I can't be playing around with the damn camera settings. Thank you. Because we've got a couple moments before we get out of here. Tech, was there something else that you could add into this while I'm going looking for this damn thing and I got to mute myself now?
Yeah, there were. I actually had the G.I. Joe sunglasses that were so dark that if you looked up at the sun on a sunny day, I don't know if there was any damage being done to the eyes. And I didn't know what kind of UV protection these had back then because I didn't even know what the hell UV protection was back then. But I didn't have to squint. So which meant that if you tried to wear them in the house, you'd walk into a wall. They were fantastic.
Wow.
And it came with a whole bunch of stuff. I had all the G.I. Joe stuff. But, you know, there are certain things that stick with you as a kid just because of either they were special in some way in mm-hmm. terms of who they came from or what the item was itself or who you invested your time with those items. Like, I remember I had the Super Soaker 400. That was the single barrel tri-tipped system that had two water tanks and the largest compression tank out of any of the Super Soakers that were originally during the Super Soaker originally coming out with the Super Soaker 100, the 200, the 400. And I lost count of the amount of squirt gun fights that I had with that bad boy. And one.
The one, you know, I'm going to go ahead and tack on another one. This one was from my stepdad. One Christmas, he actually bought me a small toolbox with tools in it.
Cool.
Not for entirely unselfish reasons, because as the industrial youth that I was, he got tired of me losing his shit out in the yard. So he bought me my own set of tools, and I tinkered around a whole lot. You know, that's kind of the reason why, you know, the Fayette County Sheriff's Department still is not happy with me, because at a very young age, I learned, shall we say, the ballistic properties of PVC pipe and hairspray.
And Tech, I do believe that I found it for you. Is that the guy?
Hold on a sec. Let me focus on you.
This one does show that it's the Super Soaker Supercharger 400.
No, the Super Soaker 400 that I'm talking about is the original 400. And that is not it. The original 400, what the one you're looking at that you have up,
yep.
That's a storage chamber that's also acting as a compression chamber. Now, if you will, imagine two blue chambers acting just to hold the water.
Hold on.
And then vertical chamber for the storage. It's similar to that. That's a different model, but it would have two of the long and then the ball in the back
Yeah,
you have to think of that about being three times the size of that thing.
I think
it actually had a shoulder strap to carry it.
I think I know exactly the kind you're talking about. This is not exactly the 400, but you're talking about... you're pretty much talking about this this style of...
This is the style that Shujin is showing is correct. Mm-hmm. But the capacity... on the warning page, it actually warned that it told you not to pump it past 30 times because the seals, right? And I found that you could actually pump it well past 30 and get really – we're talking about jet streams holding the water pistol at a level with the ground and getting more than 50-foot stream out of these things.
Yeah.
And when the seal eventually did go, which was years later, I replaced it with much stronger seals, and I was able to pump that bad boy up to the point of where people were going, "Ow, that hurts!"
Oh,
and then that was back from the end of the driveway across the street.
Yeah. Holy jeez.
Yeah.
And I did find the other one. This is the original Star Trek communicators in the boxes as would have been original at the time that they were released, which would have put it at about 19... I forget what year it was. It would have put it around 1977-ish. And they looked like this.
Oh, cool.
If you were able to find these, even in non-working condition, as far as the radio was concerned, you could make a... And I'm going to say it. You can make a fucking mint on eBay selling these things on auction, because these things are so immensely popular and collectible now. And it was great because the dark blue cover would flip open and it looked like the old communicators from the original series, but it was a push-to-talk switch, and obviously you've got the telescoping antenna, which... You move that thing around 5 seconds, and suddenly it's bent in three places.
Yeah.
But, oh, it was great. And they worked on regular CB channels, which at the time was, you know, that was the thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that.
I got another quick story, too. My brother was actually born in December 30th. And so his first Christmas, he was almost 1 year old, and he was given a giant plastic toy box in the shape of a barn. And so it was pretty big. And so that was his actual first Christmas, was when he was almost a year old. And I actually stuffed him inside the toy box and sat on it, and then pretended I didn't know where he was.
You're a terrible sister.
Yes. But that Easter, someone gave him a plastic hammer, and there are pictures of him beating me over the head with it. So he got his revenge.
Rightly so. All right. We're getting pretty close in on the end of it all. So where I want to end us off with is for our last items, I want to get from each of us, of course, money is no object. Physics is no object. Reality is no object. What do you want for Christmas? Tech, thank you for joining tonight. And what's your piece for this week?
If money wasn't an object, I would probably get the best damn attorney money could buy. Mm-hmm. As many people are aware or not aware, you know, you may be tuning into the show for the first time, I'm a single father. But while I have joint custody with his mother, I only have him for 1/3 of the year, cumulative total. And he has stipulated multiple times to many different people that he doesn't want to go back to his mother's. But I can't do anything about it right now. I know there's plenty of people going, well, you can do this, you can do that. No. Right now, if I want to make any headway on the timeline, I would need probably one of the best custody attorneys money could buy, you know, or by a judge, one of the two, but that's illegal. That aside, assuming that that is not a possibility, if I had unlimited funds, I wouldn't actually want to buy anything. What I would do is I would pay off my family and relatives' debts and, you know, probably fix up some things that need to be fixed, make some investments in the house, whatnot, things like that. Nothing really. There's nothing I really want besides what I've already said.
All right. Heretic Woman, thank you, of course. And same thing. What do you want the big fat man to bring you?
Well, if, you know, physics and reality and all that isn't an issue, I'd love to have my dad back. But money-wise, I would love to be an activist full-time and just do this all the time. And open a giant cat sanctuary, too.
Wonderful. Joe, of course, as always, thank you for your time, and what do you want?
Oh, I'm a simple guy. There's not a lot I really want that I can't just get myself, but, you know, there's a whole slew of things that I could list on a deep or personal level. But, you know, y'all are getting too damn serious about this. You know what I want? I want the Sonic screwdriver. It's a screwdriver, but Sonic. Actually, no, I want a flux capacitor.
And a Mr. Fusion to power her by.
In a DMC-12. Yeah.
Ken says they blame you. And, you know, the more I think about it, the more I realize the shell of that thing was stainless steel, if I remember correctly, right?
Yep.
Which means any electricity would have been skin affecting all the way around outside of it, which means that, electrically speaking, that's a wonderful piece of mechanical engineering. The downside, of course, is that the thing will only ever drive directly on the white line, and if it's a dashed line, you're pretty shit out of luck. Some people get the joke. Some people need to look up Lee Iacocca. Or, of course, you know, failing that, you can look up the Amish Wolverine, because we didn't mention him last week and nobody called us on it. Damn it. In any case.
I'm sure we did.
No, actually, we didn't. I thought about it, like, right at the end as we were getting out, and it was just like, oh, wow, wait a minute. So...
See, thank I wasn't even here for the episode that started, and so I can't. Okay.
That's okay. So, of course, as we always tell you guys, thank you so much for taking the time and helping and sharing and talking through with us. So what do I want? What could I possibly ask for? There's a lot of things. And
I can think of something in particular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
the way you talk about her, I would have loved to have met her.
As much as I would like so many things, to paraphrase from Inigo Montoya, my wife back, you son of a bitch, I would love to have a dragon to ride. I would love to be able to have the ability of Q. I would love to be able to go on the next ride and see Armstrong's footprints for my own self. But I would settle for one thing. One thing truly. I would settle, as much as I say don't, I would settle for the full and complete knowledge for everyone that we stopped cancer. as much as I would give more than people would ever imagine. And to have my wife back. I've said before, and I still stand by it, I would become the harbinger of pain, the destroyer of civilizations. I would make Hitler look like a failed Girl Scout and never look back in guilt to have her back. And I truly, truly do mean that. I would use everything in my power. I would use every last shred of dignity and every ounce of cult of personality that I could harvest if I thought that I could make it happen. And I truly believe that if there is some alternate timeline, some multiverse that's simply layered on top of ours and under, that I feel absolute pity for that version of me. Because I know that he'd be tearing himself up. Because I know I could. If I could have one thing, I would share it with everyone. Because there are very few things that are universal. As much as the banana man likes to go ahead and use the term instead, pain and suffering instead of cancer. Pain and suffering is universal. We can't take it all away. But that one, and granted, it's hundreds of different flavors, but that one, how amazing would our lives be if we didn't have to worry about someone close to us or even ourselves? I would love for cancer research hospitals to be something that you look up in an ancient history book. But unfortunately, the reality of it is we are predestined for it to happen, simply because of our makeup. Am I going to make some kind of a crack about how we as a species are a failed creation? No. Because truly, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we recognize that we have these things that we can alleviate, even to a certain amount, maybe even to just a little bit, that we recognize that we have time together. We don't even have to recognize that it's a short time, but that we have the time now. Even if it's hard for you to be able to reach out to the people who are blood relative, you have a family. Family of choice. And that's the last piece that I wanted to bring us out with. There are a number of debates that have happened that I've listened to, and truly they end up blending together. And just humor me a couple of seconds more. And one of the things that comes up time and time again, the argument from theists who yell and complain that, well, you take away somebody's belief, their faith, and what are you replacing it with? Nothing. And time and time and time again, these wonderful, wonderful atheist debaters fall flat on their faces every time when you don't give a different answer than the truth. Yes, the truth is important. But please, please, what are you replacing blind faith with failed faith? The truth? They don't want the truth. They want family. please, if you're going to tell them that they're taking away the family structure that they had before, the social structure that they had before, please tell them you're replacing it with a family of choice instead of a family that they were brought into because they were told to. You make your own way. It's your life to enjoy. And I, for one, on behalf of all of us, am glad that you're part of ours. Thank you for choosing us. We know full well this is not a sexy vlog cast, and it's not nearly as entertaining in a lot of respects as a lot of others, but we do truly believe that all of the perspectives that we have are worth listening to give color to all of what we've got, this little thing called life. Heretic woman, happy holiday.
Thank you.
Unrenown Tech, happy holiday.
Thank you. And to you and everybody else.
Absolutely.
Regardless of what your holiday may be.
Joe, happy holiday. Thank you. And for all of you, no matter what you celebrate or don't, safe travels, enjoy the night skies, and if you can afford one, if you have a family, invest even in a small telescope, because in the winters, it's the best time to get to view the sky.
Oh, absolutely. Early.
It's early dark.
I got one for my son.
It's clear skies because there's so little temperature variation in the air. And really, it's amazing to be able to look up there and see Jupiter. Normally, I would say goodnight for my wife, too. But because of the holiday, I wish to all of our friends and family long gone, or recently, thank you for being parts of our lives. We miss you, we love you, and we remember you. Take the time also to look up the Christmas truce, and always remember, even in the darkest, sometimes it's good to replace bullets and mortar with a war of singing. We will see you next week, which will be pre-New Year's. As always, everyone, thank you for your time. Happy holidays, safe travels. And until the very next time we get together, good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.